As lake ice melts, we learn about Indigenous spearfishing traditions on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. The state DNR says the six Chippewa tribes of Wisconsin are legally able to harvest walleyes using a variety of methods. But spring spearing is the most frequently used one, and each tribe declares how many walleye, how many muskies they intend to harvest from each lake. Do you take part in the spearfishing tradition? What do you want to share about this technique and the heritage? What do you want to know about lakes with a tribal harvest? Join in 800-642-1234. John Johnson Sr. is president of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. President Johnson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Yes. So explain how sacred, how important the spearfishing heritage, how practical it is as well to the Lac des Flambeaux Band and other tribal nations.
Yes. When I was a little boy, you know, we were these traditions were shared with us and how to take care of our families during the springtime. We have a season for each one of our seasons that come up, we usually do a feast, and then during the spearing season, we'll have our feast, we'll go out and harvest fish, and we'll take care of our community with those fish that we harvest this year.
Can you take us on a journey in our mind, out on a boat, share what happens at night in very, you know, shallow water, beginning with the prayer, the offering, before even venturing out on the water?
Yes, it was taught to me when we were very little that we take a piece of our clothing and we offer it to the water. With that piece of clothing, we have tobacco in there, and we get into the middle of the lake. We'll sink that piece of clothing and offering to that woman spirit that keeps in those waters for safety of our tribal members and our people that are out harvesting in the spring.
And then you push off in a boat?
Yep. When we push off in the boat, we usually have, if we've been doing it a long time, we usually know where the fish are, their spawning beds, and we go take fish out of there. Everything that we take is regulated. It has to be under 20 inches. We can have one between 20 and 24 and one over that. And those would be the big female fish, but a lot of us fishermen like myself, we won't touch those big fish. Everything that we take is under 20 inches.
And you have big headlamps. You have to see out there. How does that work?
Yeah, we have we have a 12-volt battery. We have a light. It's mounted on top of a hard hat. And we have a strap. It's strapped to our head. And whichever way we look, this is where we can see the glowing eyes of the fish.
I bet that's just so beautiful to be able to spot that. And very peaceful as well in the darkness.
Yep. And a lot of times we get rain, we get storms and stuff, we won't harvest. But everything that we take goes to our community in a good way. We use it for feasts, we use it for ceremonies, and, you know, we're coming up on a feast here shortly for these fish, and, you know, a lot of people from our community will be gathered, and we'll speak for that fish.
I would think that in these pandemic times, just the ability to gather will be incredibly moving for you and for the community.
Yes, the last 2 years we restricted harvest on our own membership into a 40-mile radius of our reservation, and there was lakes out there we never even harvested last year. So we were allocated somewhere around 27,000 fish, and we took 19. So we have 4,100 members here on our reservation. So if you did the math, it would come out to like 4.6 fish per person, you know, for the whole season.
And when your boat comes back in and you have the fish with you, you're careful to count. You're careful to make sure that you don't go over the harvest quota that is set.
Yes, we have a safe harvest levels. Every fish that comes in is sexed and measured and written down and given to our Glyphwick staff at the end of the night. And it goes up into Ashland at our Glyphwick station, and accurate count from every tribe that is harvesting that night will be on record the next morning.
And remind us what GLIFWIC stands for.
Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission.
Yes, yes. Let me just reintroduce you for a moment. We're talking with John Johnson Sr., president of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians, as we look at the Indigenous spearfishing harvest. And that is starting. That's getting underway. You can join in. Are you a tribal member? Do you participate in the spearfishing season, the tradition? What should people understand about the techniques? 800-642-1234. President Johnson, I'm going to need a bit of help with this, but I learned that the Ojibwe name for Lac des Flambeaux is Waswaganing, and it means the place where they hunt with torches. Is that right? Connected to spearfishing?
Yes, it's connected to spearfishing. It's the people of the torchlight, and that's the way they originally started harvesting. When the settlers first came here in the springtime, they would see Native Americans fishing from their canoe, they're spearing from their canoe, and they had the torchlight above them.
And that's why we get Torch Lake, I would imagine, as well.
Yep, Lake of the Torches.
Lake of the Torches. Let's look at some of that history. In the mid-1800s, the Lake Superior Ojibwe tribe ceded more than 22,000 square miles of tribal territory across northern Wisconsin through the treaties with the federal government. You've maintained rights to hunt, to fish on the ceded territory. Can you explain the significance of this history, of these treaties, and how they protect tribal members today?
Yes, these treaties, you know, like we said, we go back to 1842, and we didn't start, I guess they weren't reintroduced to us until 1983. They went through a court battle from, I think it was 1973, and the court battle went on for the Tribble brothers over there, and they contested our right to hunt, fish, and gather to the state, and they actually went to jail for that. But that's what our grandfathers left us, and this is how we take care of our people. We sustain our community. So all of these treaties that we have were left here by our grandfathers in hope that someday we could sustain ourselves and take care of our people.
And there are some people who do oppose spearfishing, saying it harms fish populations, but you take very great measures to ensure you are harvesting and harvesting the right number, not overfishing. Can you describe how it's managed?
Yes, we have our fish hatchery here. There's a lot of tribes that have fish hatcheries, and we put back what we take out, probably 10 times what we take out, we'll put back into the local waters with our own hatcheries. And we have technicians here, and we always have good relationships, I guess, with the state. Right now, we have three lakes shut down in the Minocqua chain, probably 12, 15 miles from here, that we haven't harvested in 9 years now, just to rehabilitate that lake.
What caused the depletion in those lakes, do you think?
We don't know. There's too many females. I think it was 4-to-1 ratio from female to male, and there's not enough males to sustain. So we're trying to figure out what we're doing wrong, and we're trying to be the good stewards of the land like we're supposed to be, and we're working with Walleyes for Tomorrow, and we're working with the state, and we're working with GLIFWIC on these chains.
John Johnson Sr. leads the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. As we learn about the spearfishing harvest, the work that's involved in it, as the season is here, mid-April, do you think the DNR and the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, GLIFWIC, do they do a proper job of monitoring spearfishing regulations? What do you want to understand about this work? How do you feel about harvest limits set by the tribes? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with John Johnson Sr. here on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. spearing fish, one of the oldest methods of fishing. We're learning about the indigenous spearfishing harvest, the heritage, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ojibwe citizens, they have the right by U.S. and tribal laws to fish and hunt off reservation with treaty rights. And we talked with Attorney General Josh Call on Monday about this, how tribal members have the right to hunt and fish and gather in the ceded territories free of harassment.
It's vital that people respect those rights, both because historically that is an agreement that was made, but also because both the DNR and law enforcement are committed to enforcing the laws if there are violations.
Have you observed or experienced someone interfering with tribal rights? What did you do? What happened? Be part of this 800-642-1234. John Johnson Sr. is president of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Stays with us for about 9 more minutes. We heard there the Attorney General, Josh Call, warning about infringing on tribal rights. Incidents of threats, harassment have happened in previous years. President Johnson, can you talk to us about this issue of hate crimes and harassment against tribal members?
Yes. It was a couple of years back. One of my younger brothers, his name is Greg, he was shot at a local lake here, not 20 miles from here, and he was shot at, and the guy got fined $343.50, pled no contest, so they couldn't do anything to him. And they told him, they put him on a no drink, and he couldn't have no contact with us from here in Lac des Flambeaux. But I think these racism things are wrong. You know, we have families to feed. I have grandsons that I'm teaching culture to. And just like the rest of our tribe, our youth are learning how to exercise their treaty rights to sustain their family needs.
What did that experience do to Greg? How did it impact Greg?
Well, it didn't stop him from doing his treaty rights. It just made us a little bit more resilient, more cautious. And, you know, when we do this, people don't need to interfere with us. We're going to be doing this from 3 to 4 weeks out of the year. We're not harming anyone. We're not harming the resources. And, you know, it just, life is going to go on, but we got to have protection for our people here. And with myself being the tribal president, I'm also in contact with the Vilas County Sheriff's Department, other sheriff's departments up north here, just so we're, I guess, protected out on them waters.
If there is an incident of harassment, what does the process of reporting or filing charges look like?
Well, at first, if everyone has a cell phone, we have a 911 number that we call, location, and they're going to take the call. But then we have wardens, Glyphwick wardens, at our boat landings that are monitoring everything that we take out of the waters, and a full report will be done with those. But then it goes to the district court system.
Do you feel that that has been working in the past? Do you have any suggestions for better protection, better understanding, better enforcement?
Yeah, I guess education, and we have books that we give away on Glyphwick. It's called Ojibwe Treaty Rights, and you can get these for free. You'll learn everything that we know about our treaty rights and what we're doing to protect and sustain a good, healthy walleye management, and it goes along with any other season, whether it be maple sugar, which is happening right now, the deer hunt, the elk hunt, the bear hunt, the wolf hunt. Everything that we do is in these treaty rights. And this book is free from Glyphwick. And a lot of people don't understand our treaty rights, but once they read this book, it's in plain and black and white.
Has the information in that book been shared with schools, do you know? Are students learning about this?
Yes, we have it implemented right now in our grade school, and we have two of our spiritual leaders that work in Lakeland Union High School, and they teach indigenous language and culture, and this book is implemented in their class also.
I want to ask you a little bit more about the methods used. Tribal members, they harvest walleye using different high-efficiency methods, I understand. It's not just spearing. It could be netting. How do you decide what method to use?
It depends on water clarity. And a lot of times We don't even go net these lakes that are dark watered, and we just leave them alone. So, like I said, last year we were allocated 27,000 fish. We took 19. Then now we have a pulse rule. Every year we'll take, it'll go from high to low, from then back up to high again. So those numbers, you know, we're actually protecting the fish themselves by taking less 1 year and taking a little more, you know, gradually in a 3 to 5 year process.
Do you decide when you're out on a boat what method to use once you look at the lake? Is it more in the moment when you decide?
No, we know. No. We pretty much know what lakes are dark watered.
Okay.
Have the stumps that are dangerous and stuff, and we usually leave those lakes alone.
Over the years, as you do this, over the years of spearing, I'm wondering, do your skills change, or do you learn more? What surprises you about Mother Nature?
Yes, each year we go out, and like I've been doing this for a long, long time. I'm 57 years old, and I've been doing it since I was a kid, sustaining my family, my kids. Now I'm sustaining my grandchildren, and I'm teaching them everything that I know. So my youngest grandson right now that spears with me is 11 years old.
Oh.
I'm 57, so whatever I'm teaching him, he's probably got 46 years of my knowledge running through him right now, and it's going to make him a better person because he's going to be out taking care of our community when I can't.
How do you prepare the fish?
We usually fillet them, we debone them, and we freeze them, or we take them out right away and give them to the community.
We're talking with John Johnson Sr., his president of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians, as we talk about spear fishing season, learn about the heritage, learn and understand about how it is done. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. You know, as we see technology advancing on the boat, pulling out your cell phone. You can do so much on a cell phone. How do you think about preserving the tribal traditions for future generations that are more intuitive, that don't involve technology? How do you straddle that?
Yes, ever since I was a little boy, we've always had a fish hatchery here, and this goes back to the 50s. And they've always grown walleyes at these hatcheries, muskies, trout. And we put back more than we take. And we actually help on some of the off-reservation lakes when need be. And we go from our biologists, what our biologists suggest every year. They'll do the shocking numbers. And they'll find so many fish per acre. And if those numbers aren't there, our quotas go down.
Mm.
Just so that lake will be safe.
So you can feel much more assured through the help of technology that your quotas are right on, that your harvest numbers are accurate. And that must give you peace of mind for ensuring that you're making, a good decision out there.
Yes. And, you know, our numbers are exact. They're right on. The state never has any numbers for us. They're all estimates. But the regulations that we put on our spears, we actually get ticketed if we're oversized.
Mm-hmm.
And this is trying to keep it in the safe harvest levels, you know, so we're not practicing, you know, taking too big a fish.
Well, President Johnson, I want to give, let's go to the call. Vic in Portage County is with us. Vic, hi. What have you observed?
Yeah, back in the mid-80s, a group of us went to Butternut to support our Native brothers to their treaty rights, which was really contested at that time. And we walked through it was just absolutely ugly at that time there. And we were able to get through the lines, so to speak, and stand next to people like Walt Brissette and the people that were very instrumental in allowing the important of treaty rights to happen. We should all be thankful for what our Ojibwe brothers have done.
And Vic, we're short on time, but I just want to ask you, President Johnson, how does that make you feel?
That makes me feel real positive right now. Just that one person saying that, and, you know, it's going to take time. And they say time heals wounds, but, you know, this has been going on for 40 years now. Mm-hmm. And at some point in time, we're all going to have to come together, collaborate, and know what each other does. By reading these Treaty Harvest books about our treaty rights, that'll explain it, and it'll put an easier mindset to some people.
President Johnson, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
John Johnson, Senior President of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians on the Ideas Network.